It is my great honor this morning to welcome my friend, Christelle. Someone said over the conference that Christelle is one of those women that everyone loves. And it's true, because if you spend time with Christelle, you walk away and you are so edified. So welcome, Christelle.
Good morning. We can believe what God did this weekend, but it was just, we cannot describe what God did this weekend. And we were ending off last night, and usually when there's a huge altar call, then it fizzles out, but the ladies didn't want to go because God was here, and they all went back to their seats, and we just worshipped for another about 20 minutes, and it was just absolutely amazing what God did, and what no human can do, God did. And I'm really excited about a word this morning that is a little bit like a follow-up from the weekend, and if you want to know how to be fearless, you probably have to get the DVD, like Pam said. You can also then hear what the seven pillars of wisdom are. So this morning, I don't want to speak about that anymore, because we all spoke about it, and then Hetty came, and she just made it true, because she lived it. She survived the rape, and she did not just survive it. She came out of it glorious, beautiful, stronger than ever, and everything that was said was just made true by a life testimony. It was the most awesome thing to just have Hetty ending that off for us. And this morning I want to speak about something that comes after becoming fearless, but let's first pray. Father, thank you for the absolute joy of just having you change us, God. God, thank you that you are only goodness, only life, only glorious, only purity, only beauty. Father, we pray that this morning we will understand what you want to do through us for the sake of your glory, for the sake of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen. The title of the sermon this morning is, Who Do You Think You Are? So I'm going to ask us this morning, who do you think you are? And I want to start with this scripture that was our theme scripture for the Awaken Weekend. And that was from 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we spent the whole weekend discovering that we need to become like this. And this morning I want to ask the question, why do we have to become fearless? We have to discover now that we really are growing in this area, why do we need to become fearless? And I want to answer that with scripture this morning. And the first thing that I want to say is, we need to become fearless because the things that God is calling us to will require an incredible amount of courage. And nothing that comes from the mind of God can be done without God. And nothing that God does is just for the here and the now. Everything that God does is to bear eternal fruit. And everything that God does will require from us to become fearless, especially in the end times, especially in the times that we are living in. And what God wants to give us is so much bigger than we realize or understand. You know, we ask God for cars and houses and jobs, and that is good and that is great, but listen what God wants to give us. Psalm 2 verse 8, ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. God does not get stuck on jobs and cars and wives and husbands and children, even though those things are glorious and good food. Those things are good. But God says, when you ask me, I want you to ask big. And I'm going to get back to this. And when God says, I'm going to give you nations and the ends of the earth, I can assure all of us this morning, it does not come by being human. It comes by being human and walking off that waterfall or what, walking, getting out of that boat and becoming completely and absolutely dependent on God. Because again, what God wants to do is so much bigger than what we can ever amount to. And there's another thing that God says. God says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10, I love the scripture because I feel it in my gut. You know, the gut sits there, hey? Now, women have the privilege of the womb. I'm so glad I'm not a man. The womb sits here. My womb has been very active. So, the womb sits here, and in the womb, things happen. There's nothing like being pregnant and experiencing the life within you growing. But the gut also sits there. And God says it's just there. It's just there that I want to, you have to feel it there. I don't know if men can do it, but women can do it. Now this scripture says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Listen, firstly, what God has prepared for us, we cannot even imagine. Why can we not imagine it? Listen, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Sits there. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. There's something that we said this weekend. We said the wisdom that we need cannot come from us. It can only come from God. The fact that David opposed Goliath did not come from him. It came from God. The manner in which he opposed Goliath with a slingshot and nothing but a slingshot did not come from him. It came from the mind of God. And God says, the things that I want you to ask me for, the nations and the generations, and it's a little bit abstract, but that is why we need the Holy Spirit. The things that I want you to ask me for can only be asked by the Holy Spirit, by what comes from the mind of God, and he reveals it to us. That is why it doesn't matter if you are not clever. You know, I told the ladies yesterday, I promise you, it's the honest truth, I passed my matric with 4%. If you fail two subjects in my time, I don't know, 20 years later, what it is like. If you fail two subjects, you failed. So I had two subjects that I made by 2% each. So that is 4%. But I don't need to be an academic mind to understand what God wants to do. And I know this is an academic town because I actually made it to university. Only God knows how that happened. But we don't need that. God will use it. But we need the Spirit of God to reveal it. And how does he reveal it? Not by sitting like this. Oh. By asking. By asking him. That is how he reveals it. And when the Spirit of God reveals something, we understand it with our spirit man. It sits there, like I said, the womb where God plants the seed. That is the place from where we understand it. And that is the place from where we start to operate in the things that God wants to give us. Now, we were singing that song. It's my one of my favorite songs, Hosanna. And we were singing, I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith. And that is what I see. I am so in unity with that song. And then it says, show us how to love like you love. And then the following words, which I'm very careful to sing, it says, break our hearts for what breaks yours. We should be careful. If God does that, it is not easy. Now, I want to read another scripture from Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider, this is Paul speaking, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Listen to verse 19. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Have you experienced this as well? All of creation is longing, and this speaks about the day when we will be reconciled unto God. But until that day, there is an eager longing. It is as if Mother Nature and everything that is happening, the abortions, the killings, the violence, the racism, all the pain, all that, especially in our country, all those things, it's like birth pains. How many women here had the privilege of having birth pains? Can you show me? A couple of us. So the rest of us, just believe me, it's quite intense. And the all of Mother Nature, it is like birth pains for that day when the sons of God has to be revealed. And we need to become that strong generation that can push the purposes of God into this world. That can bring it into this world. It takes an incredible amount of endurance. It takes an incredible amount of knowing God and loving God. It is also the thing that will satisfy us the most. Now, the question this morning is, who do you think you are? And when David, because we are speaking quite a bit about David this weekend, when David went to the battle, he was not in the army. He was estimated about 15 to 17 years old, the clever people who study the Bible say. And when David went to the army to take food for his brothers, that was his job, he saw the giant, and the giant was speaking against the God of all gods, David's God. And David was offended by that because David knew God. And listen what happens. David is inquiring. He's only there to take the food. And he's asking, what is going on here? And David's older brother is offended by this. Listen what he says. This is in 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him talking to the men. Eliab was angry with David, and he said, why did you come down here, and who did you leave those few sheep with in the wilderness? He's telling him, you are only a shepherd. What are you doing here? I know your insolence and wicked intentions. You came down just to see the battle. And if I can rephrase that in my own words in one sentence, Eliab said to David, who do you think you are? Little did he know that his little brother is going to kill the giant. And Moses is standing at the burning bush. And if you don't know these stories, just go home and read it. It's beautiful and amazing stories in the Bible, and it's true. Moses is standing at the burning bush, and God says to Moses, you go to Pharaoh and you free my people from Egypt. And Moses says, God, and I rephrase again, who do you think I am? I cannot do this. Who, God, what are you think? Who do you think I am? And Paul writes a letter to Timothy, who was young, and Paul says to Timothy, do not let them despise your youth. I will rephrase that. Paul says to Timothy, don't let those people ask you, who do you think you are? You know who you are. Joseph prematurely shares his dreams with his brothers. He probably shouldn't have done that, but we all make mistakes. And Joseph's brothers says to him, and I rephrase, I think they said that, who do you think you are? Now, my question this morning is, and this is an individual message for every individual year, but if we can click this as a unit, we will change. First Stellenbosch, then the Western Cape, and then the country, and then the continent, and then the world, together with the rest of the body of Christ. But my question is, you are sitting here this morning, and I am standing here this morning, and who do you think you are? Why? Because this is what we do. We look in the mirror, mostly women, I think, more than men. We look in the mirror, and we have a perception of ourselves, and we decide who we are. If you are a man, you probably look at your performance, your career. Some men look at the, I never understand that, but maybe someday I will. Some men look at the car that they drive, and they decide who they are, and they determine who they are. But I want to say something this morning. I want to ask something. Did you create yourself? How can you know who you are? You don't know who you are. You did not make you. You cannot make your mind up about who you are. You are not your creator. Who knows who you are? God knows who you are. Who created you? Who called you? Who anointed you? God did that. And God says, if you will allow me, and many of us still have to get to that point where we are allowing God. And God says, if you will allow me, I will indeed show you who you are. And when you understand who you are, you don't have to look in the mirror anymore. It doesn't matter how much you weigh, how short you are, how tall you are, what your house looks like, how well dressed you are. None of that will matter when you know who you are. Because God knew exactly what he was doing when he created you. And the reason your nose goes like, you know, I once had a five-year-old who was sitting on my side. And it was not one of my own children, it was another one. And he looked at me and he said, why does your nose go like that? You know, I don't mind. I like my nose, but he was bothered by it. But see, God has a purpose for my nose. And we waste so much time thinking about nonsense when God says, it was all for a purpose. And if you will just step back and let me show you who you are, I can use you and you will be so used by me that you will be so challenged in the first place. You're like JB said, extend my territory. We had a man in our Franschhoek church that said, broaden my borders. Okay. So God will broaden your borders and he will extend your territory and he will challenge you and he will satisfy you so much there will be no time to think about anything else. You will be like something that is just a stoomroller. You will just move with the purposes of God. And in the process, he will humble you and he will humble you and he will humble you until you are so humble, there's nothing left of you. And the less there is of you, the more God can do through you. And then God says, ask of me and I will give you more than you could ever imagine and I will reveal it by my Spirit. I want to share something with you that I experienced in December 2010. It was the December holiday. We were visiting it's my mother-in-law, but I call her my mother. She's my mother. We were visiting my mother here in Durbanville, and I had a need for sleep, like many mothers do with young, small children. And my family went with the children to the beach, and I said, please just let me sleep. So they all left, and it was just me at home, and I was planning on sleeping. It was towards the end of December, but God had other plans, because I'm never ever alone without any children. And yeah, finally, it was just me, and I was really planning on sleeping, and God just started, the presence of God just came like it does sometimes, like we experienced this weekend. And I experienced God coming to me in the same way that he came to Solomon. I really did. And God said something to me. He said, ask of me, what do you want? Let's just read that scripture, because just to prove that this could have happened, because it did happen with Solomon. 2 Chronicles 1 verse 7. That very night God appeared to Solomon and told him, ask, what am I to give you? And I experienced God coming to me, and he said to me, ask, what am I to give you? And I said, God, you really want me to ask you for something? And God said, yes, I asked Solomon for something. And he could have asked for wealth. Some of us know the story. He could have asked for riches. He had so many beautiful women. He had too many. He ended up in sin, I think. But he, you know, he didn't ask for more. I don't know by that stage whether he had them. I'm not exactly sure. But Solomon asked for the one thing that was exactly in line with his calling and purpose in this life. He said, God, you make me king. I need wisdom. And God was so blessed by the fact that Solomon wanted exactly what God wanted, that God said, oh, I'm going to give you everything else that you could ever desire. But my number one gift to you will be wisdom. So God said to me, what do you want to ask me? And I said, God, I need your Holy Spirit to give me that answer. And I went and I sat with the laptop, and I just started typing, and it was a supernatural experience, what I felt the Holy Spirit told me to ask for, a couple of sentences. And after I typed it, I read it, and I said, God, who do you think I am? I cannot ask for these things. Have you seen me? Have you seen my life? Have you seen the way I scream at my children? God. And God said to me, all things are possible. I want you to ask by my Spirit. And I want to show you who you are. I want to use you. I want to read from Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Isn't this amazing? God says, even before you were born, I prepared a set of good works for you. You know what the sad thing is? Many, many, many born-again Christians never walk in those good works because they never get over themselves. And God says, I have called you to a specific set of good works, and you shall walk in it, and nothing about those good works will come from the mind of a human. It will come from my mind, and everything about those good works will bear eternal fruit. I have a friend, many of you may know her, Marisa. I think Franz is here. Where's Franz? Franz, welcome, all the way from the UK. You can go and look at Franz afterwards. He has 6 children, 2 pairs of twins. If you want to see him, he'll be at the back afterwards. You can exhibit him. Marisa and Franz, we've been friends for years. And we've been in this church serving together 20, I don't know how many years ago. And Marisa is one of my best friends in the whole world. And we were Skyping with them, and in between the twins and the children and France said something very funny. The latest set of twins are little babies still. I think they're 3 months, 3, 4 months old. And then the oldest set of twins are about 5 years old. So France says the following thing. This has nothing to do with the sermon. I'm just telling a story now quickly. France says, you know, Michael and Rebecca, the older two children, Michael is 9. He says, Michael and Rebecca are wonderful. They help us with the babies. They really are very helpful. But Lara and Hannah are driving us crazy. He says, you know, often I look for the babies. I can find them nowhere. And then I know it's Lara and Hannah running around with them again. So Marisa lives, they live in England. She does not have a domestic worker. She homeschools Michael, and she's got 6 children, and she does everything. And we were Skyping with them. And I said to her, Marisa, how do you do it? How are you coping? Because you look amazing. And she says, there is so much purpose to my life. What I am busy with is raising a generation for God, and I cannot tell you how much purpose I sense here. See, Marisa's womb has been very active as well. And I look and I say, God, you are amazing. Marisa, we looked at her when we were students. Every man in the church wanted to marry her. She is perfect from top to toe. And nobody ever thought she would have the most children. Nobody ever thought she would be the one to do what nobody else think they can do. And she's doing it with a smile just because she understands the set of good works that God has set out for her. And who knows what is coming yet? Marisa can do anything. She knows God, and so can you. And we need to find our set of good works, and we find it out by the Holy Spirit, whether it is to raise children, to be a teacher, to be a... what? I don't know what your set of good works may be. But what I do know is God wants you to ask, and He wants to reveal it to you by His Spirit. And we need to ask God. We are not waiting. Some people say, I'm waiting for God. God is waiting for us. God, we are waiting on God. We're not waiting for God. He's waiting for us. I want to read a last scripture. Again, about David. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The prophet Samuel is going to anoint the new king, and Jesse must come and he must display his sons to the prophet. And he has all these beautiful, very proud of his big, strong young men standing there. So Samuel goes and he says, oh God, it must be this one and it must be this one. This one looks just like a king. And God says, whoa, just stop there. Just stop there, Samuel. And God says, don't look at his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. Truly, God does not see what a man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord sees the heart. I wish every lady in the house could grasp this completely and absolutely. God does not look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And God is looking for a heart that is willing. It is the only thing that He is looking for. And if you have that heart and you ask, nothing can be kept from you. Nothing. It is by His Spirit. And if that thing that God is revealing to you, and it will be according to His purposes, just like Hannah. I love that Hannah is in the temple. She's desperate for a child. And she's on her knees. Pastor Fred May had a sermon on this years ago. It changed my life. She's on her knees and she's begging God. She's so undignifying. The prophet thought she was drunk. He said, drunk woman, get out of the temple. She says, "My Lord, I'm not drunk. I'm desperate before God." And God gives her a child, Samuel. And everything changes in Israel because of Hannah's desperate plea. Because Hannah's desperate plea was exactly according to the purposes of God. God is waiting for us to come to Him. Can we stand? Father, we come to You this morning as we are. Father, some of us are young, some of us are old, some of us are tall, some of us are short, some of us have many degrees, others did not even finish school. Some of us are shy, some are bold. Father, You don't care. You look at every heart. You look at every heart. Father, some of us were not even lined up, just like David. We were not even considered an option. But You saw the heart in David. You saw it. Father, this morning, we bring our hearts. We bring our hearts. And Father, will You come and by Your Spirit reveal to us who we are? Who we are? Father, I pray for every individual that is here this morning, every beloved brother and sister of mine, Father. Father, I pray that we will come to the point in our lives where we will stop looking in the mirror to find out who we are and where we will run to You to find out who we are. I want to extend an invitation this morning. I want to invite you, if you are standing here this morning and you have such a desire in your heart just to find out from God who you are, just to find out from God what that set of good works are that He has prepared for you on this earth, I want to say it is not too late. For God, all things are possible. Some of us need to repent for our unbelief when we looked in the mirror. But I want to ask, if you are desperate to find out this morning, won't you raise your hand? Just where you are in your seat, just raise your hand. Oh, Father God, You see every hand this morning. Father, You see every heart this morning. Father, we thank You that You say in Your word, ask. If you need wisdom, ask. If you need the Holy Spirit, ask. If you need to know My love, ask. And surely, I will give it to you. Surely, I will give it to you. Father, we pray that You will give to every desperate heart here this morning everything that they need to discover the journey that You have for them. And Father, this morning we want to pray for this town. Won't you just pray with me? If you can pray in tongues, if you can pray in words, let's just pray for this town. Let's just pray for this community. Let's just lift our voices. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that we will become useful instruments in Your hands. Father, where we live, where we work, where we walk, where we shop, that this town will see you. Father, we thank you that you have brought us so far. We thank you for the harvest of souls that we have already seen. But Father, this morning we ask you for more souls to come into your kingdom. And Father, will you give us a heart for the lost? Will you give us a heart for the broken ones? Will you give us a heart for those who are blind and deaf and in prison and sick? Father, will you give us a heart for this nation, for the outcast? God, will we discover who we are so that you can take us and pour us out as a living sacrifice? Pour us out, Lord, as a living sacrifice unto you. Father, it is all about you. And Father, where you go, we want to go. God, will you use us? Will you show us? In the name of Jesus.